they can argue.
Oh, here now.
Thank you. Yeah, you're right. They're
going to we give people instructions. We open the House Committee on Land Use. Today's April 16th, 2013.
Okay. Right year.
And let's see here. Okay. Why don't we, now, we've got Margie. Margie.
She will be here with him. There she is, as if by magic.
And Peden and Gallagher. Okay. So let's open a public hearing on House Bill 2106. And this is our first hearing, actually, on this topic on the next to last day. But we think we have some pretty exciting things to share with the committee about this bill.
The committee's always so excited.
So can we get
nice of you.
Margie Hoffman from the governor's office. Tom, I have a problem there. Let me just get that. And how about Greg Peden and Tom Gallagher? Yes. Okay. And this came out of House Energy and the Environment. Is that right? Yeah. Over to us. So.
Chair Clem, members of the committee, my name is Margie Hoffman. I am the governor's energy policy advisor and just want to say thank you for hearing House Bill 2106 today. In the governor's energy plan, 10-year energy plan that came out in December of last year, goal two focuses on continuing.
I'm so sorry. I'm just going to get everybody out of here. It doesn't have to stay today, if you don't mind.
Good idea.
So let me just stay right here. Let me close the public hearing temporarily on House Bill 2106 and announce carryovers. Okay. So House Bill 2746, we don't have the fiscal back yet, so it'll be a carryover. 2106 will end up being a carryover because we don't have any paperwork, but obviously don't leave. Which one? I'm going to wait and see if that comes back sometime during this. House Bill 3479, we're going to carry over. Mr. Honeycutt's working on one more little amendment. House Bill 3040, carrying over. Because the amendment created a task force that only can meet for one day.
Yeah.
So I mean, this is a lot.
It would have been very effective.
You had to get really built up for that one.
So we're gonna work on that.
It's a measurable goal. That's a good thing.
It's a new tactic.
You get 24 hours
for the same result.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is it. So 3040, 2746, 3479, and we're going to try our luck here on 3098 to see if we get a fiscal back or not.
Rule the day.
So,
3173.
We didn't really get rid of anybody, but any. Okay, so let me reopen the public hearing on House Bill 2106.
Chair Clem, members of the committee, my name is Margie Hoffman. I'm Governor Kitzhaber's Energy Policy Advisor. I'm here to testify in support of House Bill 2106 in the Governor's 10-year energy plan. Goal 2 focuses on how we continue to build out a good energy infrastructure here in the state of Oregon. And right now, House Bill 2106, as originally drafted, would have directed the Department of Energy to put together a landscape-level plan and an alternative mitigation system for sage-grouse. The amendments that you have, the conceptual amendments that you have before you today, take out the landscape-level planning and just focus on a pilot program for sage-grouse mitigation. The issue at heart right now is that in 2015, the federal government is going to decide whether or not to list the sage-grouse. And in eastern Oregon, we have a very large sage-grouse population that also happens to be in some of our very energy-rich areas. Right now, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife has a Category 1, Category 2 sage-grouse plan that really does not allow the state or mitigation dollars to be invested in the highest value mitigation for the species. So House Bill 2106 would direct the Department of Fish and Wildlife to put together an alternative mitigation strategy that would create more flexibility in the way in which we mitigate for the sage-grouse. This would be a pilot program focused on sage-grouse, but if we are successful in creating more flexibility in the way that we mitigate for the sage-grouse in the future, we have the potential to expand this to other uses and other species. Be happy to answer any questions if people have them.
Mr. Peden, you want to go next?
You bet. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Greg Peden with Gallatin Public Affairs here today on behalf of several different clients of mine. I think Ms. Hoffman articulated this issue quite well. We are in support of the conceptual amendments and the whole concept behind this to be able to develop projects, energy projects, and other large-scale projects in eastern Oregon where the sage-grouse habitat exists. We need to have a system put in place that works both to protect the habitat but also to allow development to occur. Otherwise, we've got a regulatory process that just simply does not work, and we've been spending quite a bit of time with the governor's office, Representative Bentz, and a few other members on this issue. It's a very important issue for the future development and economic growth in eastern Oregon, and so we very much support this effort and look forward to continuing the work. Thanks.
Okay, Mr. Gallagher.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Tom Gallagher representing PGE. We agree with the other two speakers about moving forward on this bill. I'd like to add, I think that the direction, the conceptual direction this bill is headed is almost a radical change in the way we do this kind of environmental rulemaking and environmental permitting. And I think it's time that we begin to look at things like this. I certainly applaud the governor's office and Richard Whitman and Mario Hoffman here for doing the thinking on this and starting to bring this forward. There's a way when you go out to site where you can go and get permission to site, or you can have a reason to have your site permit denied. And this is a new way of regulating that allows people to actually work on recovering species and building and developing. And those are the two things that I think we really need in this state, which is good, solid environmental protection, but the ability to do economic development, to build facilities, and to attract jobs.
Any questions for these three? Representative Thatcher.
Are we going to get more testimony from others?
Or is it are. We've got five more speakers. And we're going to carry this over anyway because we don't have the paperwork. Okay.
Thank you.
That's pretty easy. Okay. Emily Ackland, AOC, Bruce Taylor, Defenders of Wildlife, and Catherine McDonald, The Nature Conservancy, please. You're walking, you
think. Walking.
Yeah. Emily, can you start us off?
You betcha. Good afternoon. My name is Emily Ackland. I'm the Environmental Policy Manager at the Association of Oregon Counties. The Association of Oregon Counties appreciates the efforts that the Governor's Office, ODF&W, and other state agencies have undergone to prevent the listing of the greater sage-grouse. AOC has been heavily involved with these agencies through the Oregon Solutions SageCon group over the past couple years. Additionally, counties in sagebrush country are taking on individual actions through their planning departments to demonstrate to the U.S. Department of Fish and Wildlife that we really are taking actions to prevent a listing. AOC supports the concept of this mitigation system that's mentioned in the bill. We need something in place that will enable development while protecting the sage grouse. The state also needs to demonstrate to the U.S. Department of Fish and Wildlife that we are taking actions to prevent a listing. So the development of a mitigation system will be no small task. We know that many stakeholders will have to be at the table, but we certainly do support this effort. And, of course, counties would like to be a part of the process. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Bruce.
Thank you, Chair Clem, members of the committee. My name is Bruce Taylor, here for Defenders of Wildlife. In support of both the original concept of this bill, the landscape level plan that's going by the wayside, but I'd like to touch on that briefly, and that might be a subject that would be back in front of this committee again at some point in the future, but also the other direction that it's heading, dealing with sage-grouse mitigation. And in terms of the landscape level plan, I was on the governor's task force that waded through all these issues about transmission and siting issues about a year and a half ago, and this one of the concepts that came out of here was that we really lacked that kind of big picture vision for how we wanted to manage development in Eastern Oregon in concert with the state's conservation objectives, and recognized we really didn't have that big picture plan out there. Clearly, we are not going to get here through this bill or right away here, but the good part is that for a variety of reasons, economic reasons, we have a little bit of a lull in the kind of development of renewable energy that we were seeing a couple of years ago. We still have some big projects out there in the wings, which gets us to the second issue here, talking about mitigation, particularly for sage-grouse, impacts on sage-grouse habitats. And as Margie and others alluded, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is going to be making a decision in less about 2 years from now on whether or not to list sage-grouse under the Federal Endangered Species Act. So the state of Oregon has a window of opportunity here to make the case that, and the governor I think very much wants to make the case that the state of Oregon has policies and programs and plans in place to make sure that sage-grouse are taken care of. One of the things that we don't really have in place is a mitigation policy that is going to be effective in protecting sage-grouse habitat and in dealing with a different kind of development than we've seen out in Eastern Oregon in the past, which gets at what the conceptual amendments that we are also supporting here is the idea that we need to sit down and work through that, and it needs to involve stakeholders, and it needs to try to, similar to the approach talked about in planning, that bigger picture view that mitigation should be considered in that broader context as well. In the past, mitigation for wildlife impacts tends to be kind of a one-off deal. It gets made up every time, gets negotiated one at a time. Preference for on-site, in-kind of things that often end up being very frustrating for developers and expensive sometimes. And from the wildlife standpoint, we often end up thinking, gee, you know, I don't think we really got full mitigation out of that. And a couple years later, of course, you realize it's too little, too late. So nobody's very happy. And I think in general, there's a growing consensus out there, as you heard from some of the other speakers from who may come at it from a different angle, that there really is a lot of benefit to looking at this more strategically, that we can be more efficient in the way we do this, that developers who may have to write a check for something can have greater assurance that they're actually getting something meaningful for their money. On the other side, on the wildlife side, we'll have greater assurance that we're actually getting something for their money as well, and have a more transparent process that allows people to move ahead. So I think that's where the governor's office is trying to go with this these amendments here, and we hope you'll be supportive as well. Thanks.
Chair Clem, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Catherine McDonald. I'm the Conservation Director for the Nature Conservancy in Oregon. The Nature Conservancy works with public and private landowners here in Oregon and across the country and internationally to find ways to develop practical solutions that protect nature for people and nature, and also allow for responsible development to go forward. And we have worked over the last several years with different processes that have been going on in the state to try and come up with better approaches, market-based approaches for implementing mitigation, following along the lines of some of the things that Bruce said, to try and take a landscape scale view and also to come up with a way to implement policies that are more predictable, transparent, efficient, and effective. We think the ODFW has a great policy, and what needs to be done is find better ways of implementing that policy that provide additional transparency and predictability to developers and better assurances on the conservation side as well. So we support the idea of looking at how to supplement ODFW's existing policies with a way to implement for the greater sage grouse that has all of those benefits and approaches. And I think just to echo the point that points that Emily and Bruce both made about how we have a very short window of time to really be able to make a strong case to U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service that the state of Oregon is not only going to prevent further decline of sage grouse, but also show net benefits and improve that we can recover habitat where it has been impacted in the past and strengthen the populations in Oregon. That will give us the most control over our future and the best ability to find solutions that work for the sage grouse and for rural Oregon communities. Thank you.
Any questions for this panel? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And Varner Seaman and Stephen Kafori. Throws me off every time. Varner.
It's a tough one.
Varner.
Yeah. You don't hear it a lot of league play. Hi.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Stephen Kafori. I'm here representing the Oregon chapter of the American Planning Association. Mr. Chair, we realize the imperative of doing something about the sage grouse in the short term and in the timeline that you're facing. We hate to think that we're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And we love the underlying bill. And we were hoping that somehow the amendments could be added on top of the underlying bill rather than replacing it. There are a lot of issues in eastern Oregon besides sage grouse, and they're going to be more and more evident as conflicts of uses increase, and we are facing them. And the more that we are prepared to do that in a structured, strategic way by doing landscape planning, the better off we'll be. And as Mr. Taylor said, this is something we ought to be thinking about, if not doing now, so that we can give the kind of predictability to the land use system that was promised in 1973 when the bill was first passed. Eastern Oregon siting conflicts have exploded over the past decade, if I may read real briefly, including around some iconic Oregon landscapes. Landscape level planning is a promising approach to identifying significant natural resources which may be affected by new energy facilities. While we understand that Section 1 amendments now drop the mapping of appropriate areas and focus on sage grouse mitigation system, we need this sage grouse system, obviously, but we support the broader landscape mapping that can provide better state and local guidance and reduce impacts to farm and forest lands, habitat, scenic resources, and special state and federal wildlife management areas. Other states already provide broad landscape level guidance to reduce and minimize energy siting conflicts, and we would like Oregon to do the same.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Varner Seaman. I'm the policy director at Renewable Northwest Project. We have maybe a little bit of a unique perspective representing developers who are working at trying to put renewable energy projects in the ground. And I think what we see in this status quo, or the current condition we have relative to the sage grouse and trying to develop projects in the areas where sage grouse populations occur presently, is effectively, from the developer's perspective, a sage grouse population is basically a no-go in terms of development in the status quo. From a preservation standpoint, folks may think that that makes sense and that's a good thing for the species. Unfortunately, what we've seen with the sage grouse is the two main threats in Oregon to sage grouse are encroachment of juniper into the sage habitat and fire that destroys the sagebrush. And sagebrush takes a very, very long time to grow back, and it's tough to restore that habitat. What we see in the status quo is that if we just don't allow renewable energy projects to get built and we don't do anything substantial to try to repair that habitat, the population of sage grouse will continue to decline, will get into a listing, and we're not going to necessarily be better off either from the economic development standpoint in the communities where those projects were not built, or from the ability for Oregon to continue to develop the renewable energy sector, or from the standpoint of the population of the sage grouse. The way that we're supportive of the concepts that we're talking about in 2107 6206, and we think that what this affords, if we can pull this off successfully, and we're committed to doing the work to try to do so, is that you could have projects come in. Those projects would be allowed in areas where they weren't necessarily before, and in exchange, those projects would be paying into a system so that we'd be doing juniper removal, and so we'd be working doing work for fire suppression so that we could both get the economic benefit as well as be able to do some work to be able to restore the habitat and to be able to restore the species. I think that this is hard work. I think that's tricky work to do. I don't think that this is simple by any means, but we want to be a part of this, and for on behalf of Renewable Northwest Project and folks who are trying to do development work of renewable energy projects here in the state, I would encourage you to support 2106.
Okay, any questions for these two gentlemen? Okay. And anybody else here on 2106? Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2106 and carry over House Bill 2106. And we're going to also carry over House Bill 3173. Still didn't get anybody to leave. Okay, so let's... did I carry over 3362? Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay, we had a last-second request to carry over 3362 to see if there's any more possibilities to work compromise language out, so let's do that. And still waiting on 3098. How about we do House Bill 2820? Let me open a work session on House Bill 2820. We've got the dash 6 amendments that, well, let's see. Maybe we just get a nod. So we had 1,000 friends, Mr. Daugherty, and the general, and everybody okay with these? A6, dash 6. Where's 1,000 friends? Okay. So anyway, that's the interest groups. The dash 6, lower the threshold.
Huh?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, let's get into the work session.
Mr. Chair. Oh, I thought you did.
I did. Sorry. I mean the motion. Sorry.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the dash 6 amendments to House Bill 2820.
Okay. Vice Chair Cameron moves the dash 6 amendments to House Bill 2820. As I mentioned, they move the threshold for which you go to the county instead of FSEC from 640 in the original bill down to 320. They make some other changes around making clear that you go to the county for really anything else other than farmland, high-value farmland, all the way up to the 320, and then they exempt the backscatter site down in Christmas Valley that's already got the plumbing, etc., from FSEC review. Any discussion?
Have we...
Representative Davis.
We run this by Representative Benz and Bailey, since they were proponents of this?
Yes. And they're pleased. They did not think there was a way we were going to get a consensus.
Okay.
Yeah. And...
whole question, Representative.
So any more discussion on the dash sixes? Okay. Any objection to the dash sixes? No. Okay. So adopted.
No referral on this, right?
No referral to the floor.
Mr. Chair, I'll move House Bill 2820 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Cameron moves House Bill 2820 to the floor with, as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? I will note we got one little bit of last second turbulence that we can talk about in the Senate side if it really needs to be talked about from Harney County somewhere. Harney County. And but it's just too late to deal with it here, so they're okay with it. So okay, any further discussion on that? And seeing none, would the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Davis.
Aye.
Representative Holy.
Aye.
Representative Thatcher.
Aye.
Representative Unger.
Aye.
Vice Chair Cameron.
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick.
Aye.
Chair Clem.
Aye. Motion passes and the bill is sent to the floor. boy. Who had to sit on the work group? Representative Bailey? Did he have to sit through all that? Poor guy. So we'll try Representative Bailey and see if he wants to carry it. He may not, and then I'll figure somebody else out.
Representative Bence might want
Bence might want to. I'll ask him. Bence and Bailey. I'll ask them. Really? Either Bence or Bailey. Okay. Let's go to... well, since Representative Huffman's here, let's do the work session, open a work session, House Bill 3479. No, I'm sorry. I announced we're carrying that one over because we're going to do one little language tweak. And we're waiting on 3098, and he's anxiously waiting, too. Well, I don't know. You can just stay there, I guess, and see what happens. Let's do House Bill 3267. Open a work session, House Bill 3267. And this is the Plan B for Representative Bence. If 2255 doesn't get anywhere, then this is a way for him to continue making his case for the rest of session about Malheur County industrial lands.
We're going dash ones, right?
Yes. First, we adopt the dash ones if so desired by the committee, which moves it from 5 sites down to 3 sites, and Representative Bence is fine with that.
There's 2 copies of that. If you... I'm sure he would rather kept the 5.
He's the one who told me.
Oh, okay. Mr. Chair, I'll move the dash ones to House Bill 3267.
Vice Chair Cameron moves the dash one amendments to House Bill 3267. Any discussion?
Do we know if stakeholders are okay with this, or is this have any sense?
No, I would say they're not okay with it.
That's what I thought. I just wanted to check.
Yeah, we're not going to be asking for a vote, a new pass. It's just to go to rules for further discussion.
Oh, is that what we're sending it? Sorry. Yeah. I didn't catch that. We're sending this to rules.
Yeah.
Okay.
So any objection to these amendments, dash ones, moving from 5 sites down to 3 sites? Okay, seeing none, adopted.
Mr. Chair, I'll move House Bill 3267 to the Committee on Rules without recommendation.
Vice Chair Cameron moves House Bill 3267 as amended to the Committee on Rules without recommendation. Any discussion? And again, this is Plan B to the rural fish in 2255, rural which fish. We'll hear about again tomorrow, or Thursday, rural fish.
They live in sagebrush.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why they're so hard to...
Any discussion on the motion?
It's not healthy for me.
Okay. Clerk, please call the roll.
Representative Davis.
Yes.
Representative Holby.
Yes.
Representative Thatcher.
Aye.
Representative Unger.
Yes.
Vice Chair Cameron.
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick.
Aye.
Chair Clem.
Aye. Motion passes, and Plan B, Rural Fish, is sent to
we
rules.
Are moving. I love this.
Okay. So 3479 is carried over, 2746 is carried over because we have no fiscal back. 3040 is carried over because of the one-day work group. Oh, let's get into some annexations, shall we?
Yeah,
okay,
let's do this.
Let's have a work session on House Bill 2028. And we've got the... dash sevens, which I can talk about in a moment if you want to get a motion on.
Sure, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to move the dash sevens to House Bill 2028.
Okay, Vice Chair Cameron moves the dash sevens to House Bill 2028. And these amendments basically say you can hostage over nothing except, and then there's a little list, the extraterritorial service is a water service, a sewer service, a stormwater service, constructing a road or street to provide the first paved access to a landowner's property or service provided by a municipal electric utility. And other than that, you can't hostage them with a non-remonstrance agreement in exchange for a service unless they live in your city and you're, you know, then they were already in your city, so it's irrelevant.
Hostage them to stay in your city?
Yeah, you can hostage them to stay. Okay, so any discussion on these amendments? Representative Holby. Oh, hello.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I can appreciate the work on this, but I won't be supporting the bill.
Okay.
About the amendment.
Okay.
First.
Or the amendment.
Or okay.
So close.
So close. Yeah, so anyone else on these dash sevens? Okay, so noting Representative Holvey's objection, any other objections to the dash sevens? Okay, so noted, just Representative Holvey, and then the bill as amended.
They adopted?
Yeah, so adopt those dash sevens with the one objection.
Mr. Chair, I'll move House Bill 2028 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Cameron moves House Bill 2028 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. No fiscal indeterminate revenue. What's but negative mean?
That's all they write. Indeterminate, but
no revenue impact. And any discussion? Nothing down there? You've already said your piece?
I've already said my piece, Mr. Chair.
I'm in favor of this, obviously. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Davis?
Yes.
Representative Holvey?
No.
What?
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Aye.
Vice Chair Cameron?
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick?
Aye.
Chair Clem?
Aye. And with that, House Bill 2028 goes to the floor. I'll carry that little puppy. And let me open up a work session on House Bill 2617. And now this is the bill that says if a city has a charter amendment requiring an election to be held on the question of annexation, and the island method is being used, and the island in question is greater than 100 acres, then the vote would be counted separately in the city and in the island. And if it's less than 100 acres, it current law would remain, which is either in cities that don't have them, the city council can do it, or in cities that have voter approval in their charters, they vote as a combined majority. One question that came up that somebody asked me about, I just wanted to put Harrison's email into the record. They asked, what would happen if it's like a company or nobody lives in the island? And what Harrison said is...
quoted this back to you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, what he said was he responded and simply highlighted a portion of the current regulation stating that the city shall allow electors, if any, in the territory proposed to be annexed to vote in the election. And then went on to say below that the if any would be the same as if you did have someone, so it really does not matter to the corporate vote. That's what he was saying, is it doesn't change it. But that's why I was thinking about one of these answers.
Can I register him for business?
Do one vote?
One vote.
Mr. Chair, does that mean corporations can vote?
No, they can't, which was their point. And generally speaking, a non-remonstrance agreement, if the company's in favor of it, would be used anyway, or not a non-remonstrance, a triple majority annexation would be used if the company's the one requesting their property be annexed. They wouldn't be using island anyway. But in the case of an island, if there's no electors, it does not then have to pass in the island with no electors. It would only pass in the city because there's no election, so the annexation would still be able to be enacted. Okay, any other discussion? Yeah.
No, I'm just going to
move the bill. Okay. We don't have a motion on the floor. Sorry.
Mr. Chair, I'll move House Bill 2617 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Vice Chair Cameron moves House Bill 2617 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair?
This due pass is amended, but this notion...
Has it been amended?
No, it hasn't. No.
And, Mr. Chair, I will be a no on this bill as well.
Thought so, yeah.
You thought so?
I gathered that. I was discerning that. And, okay, any further discussion? Okay. Clerk, please call the roll.
Representative Davis?
Aye.
Representative Holvey?
No.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Unger.
Aye.
Vice Chair Cameron.
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick.
Aye.
Chair Clem.
Aye. With that, the motion passes and the bill will go to the floor. I'll carry that one too.
And then let me open a work session on House Bill 2200. And colleagues, this one is my relating to use of land bill that I wanted to have floating around. And I'm asking we send it over to Rules without recommendation. I know Representative Huffman's got his eyes on it. Who knows what else might get put in there once it's there, but I'm trusting that Representative Holvey will pay attention to that since he's on the Rules Committee. But we've got a few folks looking for random bills, and one of them for sure is Representative Huffman on a concept. So my request is to move this over to Committee on Rules so no one has to burn a priority bill to have a bill like this available for usage.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, do you know what they're going to use the bill for?
I know one possibility is a concept around a bill that we had here restructured in an entirely different way to work with a transferable development opportunity having to do with a property out in Sisters area. We also have the bills in the work group from the Ag Committee and Rules Committee, which don't fit with the relating clause of the bills. And so anything that really I can get away with for use of land, we could put in there. Everything sort of is on land. So
thank you. It's not like everything. You and the Speaker have a plan then.
Yeah. So,
Mr. Chair, I'll move House Bill 2200 to the Committee on Rules without recommendation.
Vice Chair Cameron moves House Bill 2200 without recommendation to the Committee on Rules. Any discussion? Any fear? I shouldn't ask that. Okay. With that, would the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Davis.
Yes.
Representative Holby.
Yes.
Representative Thatcher.
Aye.
Representative Unger.
Yes.
Vice Chair Cameron.
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick.
Aye.
Chair Clem.
Aye. Motion passes and House Bill 2200 goes over to Rules. Okay, so we didn't get any, we got nothing back on 3098 yet to do something with that. And I've got nothing else here.
Do you
want to
do the amendment?
Do. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So, let me open a work session on House Bill 3098.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the -6 amendments to House Bill 3098.
Vice Chair Cameron moves the -6 amendments to House Bill 3098. And let's talk about those.
We're still in progress.
The -6s are? So we don't physically have them. Yeah, we do. Correct. Oh, we do. They're right here.
We got this new update.
Why don't you have the amendments about the fiscal?
Yeah, no. Here's where we're at on this. Recall the original bill had to do with essentially listing out an expansion in Washington and Jefferson counties. And listed all the different parts of what that expansion would entail and such. This is a gut and stuff of that bill, and instead changes the current section of law that talks about where a youth camp may be established, which is put in the 90s sometime, looks like 99 maybe, to also allow beyond currently where it can be, which is a land zoned for forest use or mixed farm and forest use consistent with rules, on land in eastern Oregon that is zoned for exclusive farm use and is composed predominantly of class 6, 7, or 8 soils consistent with rules adopted by the LCDC. And then the LCDC would work with the proponents on any rule changes that would need to be made. There's already a whole bunch of existing rules on what can happen at a youth camp. They would work through that process with any existing changes to those rules that need to be made if any. And then did we decide that those rules still also require conditional use permits in both counties as well? So then there'd be that local process as well. And that's basically these amendments. And Vice Chair Frederick.
I was I had some folks mention to me a concern about the Indian tribes and the use of land that way. Does this address that at all, or is it part of the LCDC rules?
Yeah, you mentioned that to me, and I'm wondering if that was maybe about the base bill and the section that someone brought up in the hearing about the line that said shall mitigate impacts to archaeological sites and such. And that's all being deleted here.
It's all being deleted
from this. Now, if there still were some items found, there's still a whole process people have to go through to deal with that. And I think people were concerned that we were somehow weakening that process with that word mitigate in the original bill versus the things you need to do to deal with those kinds of artifacts and things. So this is completely silent about that. Takes out that whole portion, well, the whole bill, actually.
But are there other rules that already are addressing that then?
I don't think in the youth camp OARs there are rules about that, but there is other state and federal law about what you do when you encounter something like that.
Thank you.
Yeah. And we would just be adopting the amendment today, and then that would be it, and we'll have more time to talk about it in the next 2 days.
Good.
Okay. Representative Davis?
Sure, I'll add. I think that this amendment, I know it was drafted, I believe, by the conservation community, vetted through the governor's office, addresses the concern of simply singling out one entity above all others and make sure that the process that we've had for 20 years now, 15 years at least, for siting youth camps is followed, in addition to the local community or
conditional use permit
process as well. So it addresses the process concerns, I believe, that were duly raised initially.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. Objections to this amendment? Okay. Seeing none, the dash sixes are adopted, and then we'll carry over House Bill 3098 due to the lack of paperwork. Okay, let's just make sure we don't lose anybody here. 2820, we moved out. 2106, we're waiting for paperwork, so I think I said that, but just in case, we carry over 2106, carry over 3173, carry over 3362, carry over 3098. We passed out 3267 to rules. We're carrying over 3479. We are carrying over 2746. Six, because of paperwork. No, carry over 3040 with the one-day work group. Carry over, past 2028, past 2617, and past 2200. Okay, colleagues, thank you for your attention, and we'll see you for an exciting Thursday, and adjourn the committee.
Run for the traffic.